IVM.
Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast by the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like bringing fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and Indian perspectives to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Hello everyone, welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast on all issues concerning public policy. I'm your host Suman, and I have with me my colleague Sarthak. Today we are discussing something that affects our lives very closely. If you're in Bangalore, I'm sure you're battling water woes. If you're in Delhi, you have pollution issues. If you're elsewhere, you have other issues. And we have the all-pervasive issue of garbage in our city. Why is this so? What are the issues regarding it? Specifically, what are the issues regarding municipal finance? We'll try to answer these questions and go a little bit deeper to understand the nuances of municipal finance. Hi, Sarthak. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Suman. Thanks for having me here.
Great. So, I hope you don't have a water issue today.
No, I don't. Luckily, fortunately. But yeah, we have faced this in the last few days.
So everybody is rationing water, at least there's news of water rationing and all of that. So through this episode, we just try to understand what is causing, not specifically the water issue. I think we have spoken enough of it through other episodes, specifically in municipal finance and cities as a whole. You know, why are cities important? Why is governance in the city important? Could you just start off with that so that then we get a broader outlook on this?
Yeah, Suman. Thanks for this question. Now, cities, I think we have talked about it before as well, but cities tend to be the engines of economic growth. In fact, in India, more than 60% of the GDP comes from the cities, while cities occupy like some 3% of the total land. So cities tend to have this disproportionate role in the economy. And yeah, because you have so many people in a very small space, the density of ideas being generated will be high. Exchange of ideas will be high. Exchange of resources will also be easier. So the point is, cities contribute immensely to the economy. But the other side is something which is concerning: the way cities are governed, especially in the Indian context. As you were mentioning, there are so many problems in Indian cities. Traffic issues, water issues in Bangalore. Delhi has the pollution issue. Bombay also has the pollution issue. And again, garbage disposal is something which is a major concern, right? In India, at least 75% of the waste that is generated in the cities is not treated. It is just dumped. For instance, if you compare urban infrastructure of India with OECD countries, with BRICS countries, let's say water connections or sanitation, right, India lags behind. There was one study by Janagraha. Janagraha actually does an annual survey of city systems. And they studied 23 Indian cities and they compared it with some international cities, right? For instance, New York, Johannesburg. So the Indian cities, their score is somewhere between 3 to 5.1 on a scale of 10. Johannesburg is 7.6, New York is 8.8. Then there are other indices as well. For instance, the Global Livability Index, it studies top 173 cities. In that, you just have 5 Indian cities. And again, the Indian city that performs the best is ranked 141st. Right? So Delhi and Mumbai, they are both jointly ranked 141st. So imagine the other 3 cities, they are even worse. And the other cities in India, they don't figure in these top 173. Again, a major cause of concern. Upper governance is something that should be prioritized. If cities are contributing this much, at least they should get some basic services, but that is not the case. If you look at the capacity of these urban local bodies, that also lacks. New York has somewhere around 6,000 officials for every 1 lakh population. The same thing for Bangalore is around 300. For Hyderabad, it is around 500. For Mumbai, it is around 950. Just look at the difference, right? The number of people who are engaged in providing these kind of services. 6,000 in New York and 300 in Bangalore. On top of that, the person who leads these kind of bodies, right, they should have a longer tenure. Maybe it can create an incentive for them to invest in the city, right? That is also not the case. Average term of a municipal commissioner in India is around 10 months.
Then we have elections.
Yeah. And in fact, elections are also pending in many places.
Yeah.
For Bangalore, the elections have been pending since 2020. So right now...
Similarly, Bombay also, I think.
Yes, exactly. Right. So these are some of the major concerns. And yeah, of course, to get things done, right, to ensure that you have the right kind of services, you need finances. So finances also tend to be the most puzzling part here.
Yeah. So it's not as if policymakers have not given a thought to this. At some point, we had the 73rd and the 74th amendments to the Constitution, which, you know, brought the governance of urban local bodies or panchayats into focus. Okay, while they described the functions or what should the local bodies actually do in some detail, the financing of this whole thing has been a problem. Okay, so at least it is not clear, and there are certain challenges like you mentioned about, because you can't do anything without finances. So how do we sort this problem out? So firstly, how do municipal bodies get their resources? You know, what are their sources of money or sources of finance itself to carry out their functions?
Yeah, so Suman, there are broadly three sources from which all these urban local bodies can get some revenue, right? The first one is from the union government, the Union Finance Commission, that is formed every 5 years. It provides some grants. I mean, the Union Finance Commission sets out those conditions on the basis of which the union government will give grants to the urban local bodies. That is one part. But again, whether we should have something like this is also questionable.
Would they bypass the state governments?
Yeah. It is directly going to the urban local bodies. But sometimes what happens, they will set some condition that the state should also be doing this, right? That's so then true. The urban local bodies will get it. So sometimes those kind of conditionalities are also there. But again, bypassing and all, I don't think is that major a concern. What is a more important concern is whether the Union Finance Commission should be deciding on this, because the Union Finance Commission's mandate is something else. Its focus should be on how the union tax revenue should be shared with the states. Right? That is the main aim of Union Finance Commission. The State Finance Commission's main responsibility is how the resources of the state should be distributed with the urban local bodies or the Panchayat Raj institution. The State Finance Commission should have a larger say when it comes to augmenting the resources of the urban local bodies. So whatever, we'll come to that in a while, what are the issues over there. But one source of revenue is from the union government. It typically is small, right? 3-4% of the total revenue receipts of an urban local body will be from the union government. The second is the grants from the state governments. Right. So the State Finance Commission plays a significant role here. The State Finance Commission, which should ideally be constituted every 5 years, which doesn't happen in many instances. The State Finance Commission decides how the resources of the urban local bodies can be augmented, how taxes of the states can be shared with some of these urban local bodies. So typically, the state's grants and all those things, it constitutes around 32% of the revenue receipts. Again, it will vary from state to state, but if you look at the average at pan-India level, right, it is around 32%. And then the urban local bodies can also generate their own revenue. There are two ways primarily. One is they can tax certain items, and they can also levy different kinds of user charges for the services they provide.
What's the difference between a tax and a
user charge? Will be linked with the service that they are providing, right? So let's say if they provide some services, in return, they will get some money. For instance, let's say solid waste management services they're providing. So because they're providing these services, they can charge for that. So that is
Only people who use that service will pay.
Exactly. It can be for sewerage, solid waste management, water supply, right? So that is the user charge. On the other hand, tax will be for some economic transaction that is taking place. Right? Property tax is an example of that. So these are primarily the three sources. Union is around 3-4%. State's contribution is around 32%. And own sources is around 64%. And around own tax revenue is half of it. Own non-tax revenue is again another half of it. But property tax tends to be one of the major source of revenue for urban local bodies in India.
Okay. So what are roughly the trends that we see? I mean, are urban local bodies actually getting more money? Are they losing money? Where are they getting money from? And what are the challenges?
Yeah. So in fact, before going to the challenges, let's look at some trends. As I was mentioning, less than 1% of our GDP spending happens in these urban local bodies, right? The municipal spending is less than 1% of the GDP, which tends to be very low, right? Comparable numbers in countries like Brazil, it is around 7.4%. In South Africa, it is 6%. So in India, it is less than 1%, which is extremely low. Cities contributing 60% of the GDP, but the municipal spending being 1%, less than 1%, you can get the context here.
Yeah.
Another thing, as I was just mentioning, there are primarily three sources of revenue, right? From union government, from the state government, and from your own sources. Now, the share of own sources to the total revenue, that has been declining over a period of time. And own tax revenue as a proportion of the total revenue, that has also been declining. In fact, both these things have been documented in two recent reports. One is a report by the RBI. Another report was a report which was commissioned by the 15th Finance Commission. We'll share both the reports along with this podcast. So own revenue as well as own tax revenue, it has been declining, right? Which also implies that these urban local bodies, they are now dependent on some other sources. For instance, their dependence on the state governments, their dependence on the union government has been increasing. So their dependence on other levels of government has been on the rise, which also implies that they're more vulnerable.
Are there reasons for why these tax revenues are, or tax or whatever, own source revenues are declining, in the sense that are property taxes being collected being reduced? Or, I mean, do you have some kind of...
So one of the reason could be, so with basically GST, what has happened is some of these urban local bodies, they have now lost their powers to tax certain heads. And now this is something which union will tax, but whatever tax amount they get, it is divided between the union and the states. It doesn't go to the urban local bodies. So they have lost some of these revenues, but they have lost some of the say in the revenue charging or revenue generation thing. So that is one of the things. And again, we are not saying that on absolute terms, the number has gone down. What I'm saying is the share that they have, right, that has gone down.
Okay.
Right. So maybe the state's transfers to the urban local bodies might have increased. So as a result of its state share by the total revenue receipts, that has gone down. But all these things, actually, the challenge here is it is now creating some sort of dependence. They're more vulnerable. They won't have much more say in where they will spend. They will have to possibly depend on the state government. The state governments might have imposed some conditionalities that we will give you these grants, but you have to spend on these things. So those can be the challenges because of the declining share of own tax revenue.
Yeah. And these kind of decisions on what you should spend on is best done at the local level.
Yeah,
so if something is being imposed or if something is being mandated for you from above, you may not get the best outcomes. That is something that we have always studied in depth.
So in fact, there is this, there is a technical term to explain this. There is a theory to explain this. This is which is called as Wechselian connection. Ideally, there should be an overlap of three things, right? Who is deciding, who is paying, on whom the spending is happening, right? If you have this overlap, then the system will work properly, right? Who decides, who spends, on whom it is being spent. But in this case, that is not the case, right? Let's say the state government is funding. The state government is, let's say, deciding. So in that case, the state government and the people who are getting the benefits, there is a difference here. There is a massive distance between them. On top of that, who is paying? The payment is also from the state exchequer. It is not from the subset of people who are going to get benefited, who are the people who are staying in a particular vicinity. Right? So there is, you don't find that overlap of these three things. Ideally, what should happen in a particular locality? Right? So they know best what is their requirement. They would be willing to pay for that. And ideally, they should also decide. Right, but that's not what the case, especially when it comes to many of these tied grants that comes from the state governments. And on top of that, I mean, since we're discussing about some of the trends, another interesting trend is the share of property tax, right? In the own tax revenue, it is quite high. So most of the cities in India, they are dependent on property tax for their revenue. But does that mean that we have been able to completely leverage it? That is not the case. Many studies, for instance, an economic survey study found out that we still can leverage it further. We can still generate more property taxes. For Bangalore, there was a study by the State Finance Commission. It says that BBMP, though property tax contribution to BBMP's revenue is quite huge, but still, the State Finance Commission says that 4 to 5 times more you can generate from property tax. Another trend that we observe is, in fact, this follows from the previous one, we are dependent on property tax a lot. That also means that other sources of revenue we are not leveraging much, right? So you do not have a diversified tax or non-tax base. And when it comes to non-taxes, the user charges that we were discussing some time back, user charges in India tend to be quite low for the services they provide. For instance, the user charge for water supply, sewerage, solid waste management, it is just 27% of the total maintenance operation costs. This is what the report to the 15th Finance Commission finds out. So basically, if you are spending 100 rupees on these things, if the urban local bodies are spending 100 rupees, they're just losing out 73 rupees. They're just getting 27 rupees out of it, which also means that the services and all those things will get impacted.
Yeah, the quality of services will definitely get impacted, as we see everywhere. So would you classify parking fees also as a user fee?
Definitely. Parking charges will definitely be considered as a user fee.
So I see a problem there in the sense that we don't see too many places where parking fees are levied. I think there's a problem with actually managing that whole thing. So maybe that is one source of other revenue that...
Definitely, definitely. In some cities, we are leveraging it, but they're also in certain localities. So there is scope to even generate more revenue out of parking.
But I think there are some challenges around that. But broadly speaking, what are other challenges that you see with municipal finances?
Yeah, we can discuss this. I think we should take a quick break and then we can come back and discuss the challenges and maybe what can be done about it.
Yeah, at this point, we would also like to tell our listeners about our public policy courses. The next cohort of the Graduate Certificate in Public Policy course begins on May 4th. So applications are open. Please head on to school.takshashila.org.in to apply for any of these courses.
Public policy affects every aspect of your life, from the roads near your home and the lakes in your city, to education and health, to international trade and foreign policy. If you want to understand this interplay of politics, economics, polity and governance, Takshashila Institution's public policy courses are made just for you. The 12-week graduate certificate program gives you a window into the basics of public policy. You can choose to explore the areas of defense and foreign affairs, tech and policy, or advanced public policy. The course is completely online and is conducted on weekends, making it a perfect fit for working professionals. The applications for the May 2024 cohort are now open. Visit school.takshashila.org.in. For more information, visit www.school.takshashila.org.in or click the link in the show notes.
Welcome back. We were discussing municipal finances. We discussed some trends. We discussed some broad issues. But getting specifically into the challenges, so what do you see as challenges in municipal finance?
Yeah, so thanks, Suman, for raising this. Now, we look at some specific challenges, but before that, something which is way more fundamental. So some commentators say that when it comes to urban local bodies as well as Panchayati Raj Institution, there is something called as the birth defect. That means 73rd, 74th constitutional amendment gave these bodies a constitutional status. So they were, their birth happened at that point of time. But there has been some challenge since then. What is that challenge? So union and states, when it comes to their finances, right, they derive that authority from the constitution. The constitution specifies what are the things that the union government can tax, what are the things that the state government can tax. But when it comes to the urban local bodies as well as the Panchayati Raj institutions, those things are not specified in the constitution. The heads might be specified, but the power is left to the states. So each state now decides what all financial powers they would pass on to the urban local bodies. So in a way, the urban local bodies do not derive this authority from the constitution, rather they are dependent on the states.
While they have all these functions that they need to fulfill, they do not get the required authority from the constitution to actually carry out.
Yeah. And when it comes to functions also, that is also dependent on the state, right? The state has to delegate those functions to these urban local bodies. The state also has to give them that power to tax from different sources or charge different kinds of user charges. So there is a massive dependence on the state. It is not one single authority from where they are deriving it. And as a result of which, since there is this dependence, right, they do not have a larger base from which they can tax. Many of the things that they could have taxed, right, in other international jurisdictions, the local bodies, they tax. In India, they can't do it. For instance, water, electricity, in most of the places, falls. Usually the states, they play a lead role over there. The states will be the ones who will be charging for these things. So this reduces their tax base. This reduces their non-tax base. So this is the first thing, right? The birth defect. Apart from that, there are many sources which could have been leveraged better, which is not leveraged as of now. For instance, we're just discussing about property taxes, how economic survey and different state finance commissions, they point out that we can get more revenue from property taxes, but that is not the case. For instance, in Bangalore, many of the properties have not been surveyed. From that, you could have taxed. We had one set of reforms in the past. It increased the tax base, but then there is still more to go. And as you were mentioning, something like parking, we have not been able to leverage that. There was one study which found out that around 500 crores can be generated every year from parking. We are nowhere close to that number. This is for Bangalore.
While we are talking of this birth defect and other issues around that, the other challenge that I see is the overlap of functions or the overlap of actual authorities that exist in an urban setting, right? So you have a BBMP, you have a BDA, you have various other issues, right? So that can also cause some problems with the overall financing, the overall governance as a whole.
Exactly. So whenever there is this overlap of authority, there is always this confusion, who has the authority, and then there will be conflict between these bodies as well. So as you are mentioning, BBMP, BDA, there will be some Metropolitan Development Authority also, right? So it also leads to a situation where the revenue generation will be limited.
Yeah, and clearly there is no accountability. This is always, you know, a pass up that can happen. This was their responsibility and not ours, and all of that when there is an issue, right?
Exactly.
When we're talking about finances, sure, there are enough, you know, you have a union giving you have a state government, you have your own sources. But can't they borrow from the market or from anywhere else? Is there some problem with that?
Yeah, again, you need to have states' approval in that case also. And apart from that, you just need to look at it from the market's perspective or whoever is giving them the money. They need to be confident that they get their money back. Right? So, but the municipal finances are not that great to create that investor confidence. Most of their balance sheets will not be good. In many places, the accounting procedures that they follow, right, which is also not good. So if the urban local bodies had all these things in place, and also if the urban local bodies had enough sources of revenue, that means in future also they can repay the loans, then the possibility of borrowing would have been more, which is not the case here. As a result of which, the borrowing's contribution to their revenue is quite low in India. And yeah, this is also something that needs to be addressed. Accounting system is one thing that needs to be done, and more sources of revenue if they have, maybe things will be better. Now, since we are talking about borrowing and all, and why they do not have enough of these things, right? Enough of revenue sources. So I think I should also point out here that the state finance commissions are supposed to be those bodies which should advise the state governments, right? How to augment the revenue resources of these local bodies. So they should have played a role here. The Union Finance Commission plays a very important role when it comes to augmenting the resources of the state. Right? So for the union state finances, the Union Finance Commission has played a significant role. But the same thing we can't say for state finance commissions. Typically what happens, in many states, the state finance commissions are not set up on time. Right? Ideally, they should be set up every 5 years. That doesn't happen. And Union Finance Commission has experts. State Finance Commission many times do not have the experts. They will have political appointees. Whatever recommendations the State Finance Commissions provide, many times these recommendations are not accepted. And again, even if the report is accepted, many times the action is not taken. So all these things, right? On top of that, there are delays. The average delay in report submission is somewhere around 16 months. The average delay in tabling the action taken report is also 11 months. And there was this recent RBI report on municipal finance. What they do is they have one interesting map of India where you have each of these states and they show how many state finance commissions have been formed in each of these states. So the 73rd, 74th Constitutional Amendment Act came in early 90s. So some states have had their sixth state finance commission, while some states are still in their second, third state finance commission. Right? It just reflects that some states have not taken it seriously. And which in turn impacts the finances of the urban local bodies.
And there's no way to enforce this, right? Like, yeah. I can't ask for state. We have not constituted the State Finance Commission. You know, what's there?
Yeah, unless maybe it becomes a top priority for people. It becomes an election issue when it comes to the state government elections. Maybe. Then it can happen. Or else, yeah, not much.
Those are determined a lot by the political economy. So, yeah, we've talked about all the problems. We've talked about all of this. So coming to solutions, what can be some potential solutions?
Let's look at some of the low-hanging fruits first, right? Things that could be leveraged further. For instance, 27% of the maintenance operation costs you are leveraging as user charges. So maybe you should charge for whatever you are providing. The urban local bodies should, their user charges should actually reflect the actual cost of providing these services, right? So charge a higher rate, at least cover the operational maintenance cost of delivering services. Second thing is try to increase the base, right? What all you can charge for. At this point of time, as we were discussing, many of these things come within the ambit of the state governments, right? Water, electricity, right? So it doesn't make sense. Vixalian condition is broken. So why not devolve it to the local bodies, right? They can charge for it. Maybe they will provide better services.
But there are some challenges with that, right? Like if I charge for a service that I'm giving, which was earlier free, there will be resistance and there is a political...
No, it was not free. You are paying to the state governments. You are now paying to the local governments.
Okay, but then you have the local government elections. I stand the risk of probably being unpopular.
No, you are anyway paying to the state government, right? Now the same amount you are paying to the local governments.
Okay. So does it help?
It will help in provisioning of services and it will help the resources of the local bodies. I think what your question is, those things which were not charged, you are charging now, right? Yeah, definitely that will be an issue, political economy. But again, maybe the quality of services can be better. And another way to think of it is maybe charge them, but at the same time, you can give some sort of subsidy for some folks, right, who are deserving of it.
Yeah, then it takes care of the equity.
Yeah, yes, equity concerns can be taken care of. Also, there is immense potential when it comes to using land for generating revenue. Different kinds of fees can be leveraged, betterment fees, impact fees. You can have a premium on FSIs. In fact, BBMP did this recently, vacant land tax. So there are multiple other sources that can also be leveraged, which we don't leverage right now. And as I was talking, I was just mentioning some time back, property tax is also under leveraged. There is scope to generate more revenue from property tax.
Yeah.
So these are the lowest hanging fruits. I mean, the first things that you can take up. And maybe the next thing that comes up is state finance commissions, right? Here again, the states have to take the lead to ensure that the state finance commissions are regularly formed. Whatever they are recommending, action is taken. The delays are reduced, right? So that also can help. Apart from that, this is kind of a long-term thing. The entire philosophy behind tax, right? How can you generate more tax revenue? Tax revenue is a product of two things. Tax rates and the tax base. So if you increase the tax rates drastically, the tax base contracts. So the other option is increase the tax base. How do you increase the tax base? Have more economic activity. And for economic activity, you have to ease business regulations, make things business friendly, right? So that also can help in revenue generation.
Yeah, basic law and order also takes care of a lot of things actually in this.
Exactly, but it will come under the state's thing, right? So state have to take care of that.
So yeah, thanks for giving us this, at least the start point for the way forward to all these potential problems we see at the local level, right? I mean, at this point, I'd like to just close this with saying that elections to the local bodies are as important. Like we mentioned, we have not seen elections to the BBMP since 2020. We haven't, all other urban local bodies also face similar problems. So yeah, we have that. But there is a larger problem too. As citizens, we tend to ignore local elections. There is a lot of talk around the general election as well as the state election, but we don't seem to take these issues too seriously. So, and also there is a conflation of issues that happen at different levels. As citizens, we have to keep in mind that lawmaking or law formulation is an important part of the roles of the member of the parliament and so on. But your citizen services, the services that we look for in our daily life, is largely driven at the local level. So while voting or, in our understanding or in our decision-making process, we need to keep this distinction clear and probably vote accordingly. Yeah. So that is one thing. And the elections are coming up now. Everybody is talking about different issues. So we need to make this distinction as to what we ask of which representative at which level. Right. So that is one parting thought that I'd like to leave for all our listeners. Thank you very much for being on the show. Thanks, Sarthak, for all the gyan on municipal finances. We hope to come back with more in some later episodes. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
If you liked our show, dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs. Check us out at our Twitter handle at @TakshashilaInst. Or our website, takshashila.org.in.
Hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On All Things Policy, Ananya Desai and Rohan Pai discuss recurrent bans on fireworks during festive seasons in India and discuss possible solutions to tackle India's air pollution problem. On the Habit Coach podcast, Ashton Doctor welcomes Sahil Mehta, an esteemed mountaineer and author of the book Break Free. Sahil shares a transformative experience which became the catalyst for embracing discipline and fulfillment. The episode explores the profound impact of vulnerability on personal growth. Folks, if you like our shows, do spread the word, tell your friends, and don't forget to rate and review them wherever you're listening to them. Follow us on social media. We are IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. You'll also find all our shows on YouTube at youtube.com/IVM Podcasts. And finally, we would like to thank our sponsors this week: Omidyar Network India, Abbott, IDFC First Bank, and Save Life Foundation. Thank you for making this possible.